Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. And tonight, co-host Andy is here to talk about his holiday. Hello, Andy.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Colleen. You're all
right? Yeah, not bad. Thank you. And how did your holiday go? Where did you go?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, blimey. I didn't go anywhere, actually. I had a lot of housework, lots of stuff to sort out at home, basically. A lot of non-exciting things. But no, I wanted to go to the mum and dad for a bit. And I saw Amanda's family and partner and did lots of podcasting and did lots of writing. So a productive 2 weeks off.
Two questions. The first one is, do you get writer's block?
It's more, what I tend to find is that if I'm getting to that stage and I'm getting a writer's block, I usually go and do another project. Like it's, I've always got lots of podcasts need to edit. And when I've got that, if that's all done, I go and do some music. That's why, so I can always get something on my keyboard. So that way, then, you know, I do that until the block drops. So.
Right.
So I've always been creative of something or another. How about you, Colleen?
Hello?
Hi, Colleen. Let me ask you that question in reverse then. Do you ever get writer's block yourself?
Yeah, that's why I don't really write so much. Over the years, since 2006, I can only write when, you know, I've got so many good ideas in my head and I have to put them down on paper. And that's what happened in 2006. And I brought out those poetry books, and I've still got them on, you know, on the site where I'd first published it. But they're just private reading now, and then you've got a copy. And when I read them again, I think, yes, exactly, I had those ideas then, and that's how it was supposed to be. And over the years, I write when I really have an idea in my head, but I can't just write. I can't write every day, and I can't, you know, I can't just come up with things. It's got to be that moment, like with art. I've got to be in the mood to paint.
Yeah, you know, completely agree with you. But in my case, that's fine. I remember that sort of stage. Because obviously I work full time, my writing day is usually something. So when I'm at home, I'm lots of podcasts and bits and pieces at home, so I don't always get time to sit down and write. So I know what you mean there. Sometimes you just try to get time to sit down and write, but you don't get time in your life, isn't it?
This question follows on from the first. What advice would you give to somebody who wants to be a poet?
Oh, right, yeah, okay. Best way I always say about a poet is live your life, basically. Because I'm always a firm believer with poetry. You write what you see, and you don't want to be stuck in the house all the time trying to think of ideas. Because a lot of poems I do, well, at least part of it is wrote when I'm travelling around. Because I've got to travel to get to my job every day, I'm always on the train and the bus journey. So I can often be inspired by the environment around me. And that tends to get me writing a lot of the time. And then also I'll say to people, is go and watch other poets read the work and get the feel of how they write, where they talk about it, say the work.
Yeah, I think that's a very good idea. Because it inspires you, doesn't it, like your own as well. Right.
Yeah, it does. It does, because when I first took Amanda the partner down to an open mic night at the Cold Run now in Stretford, Amanda had wrote poetry. She didn't write lots of it, but she got inspired by a poet there she met the second time she was there, who just lost her grandmother, because Amanda lost her dad around by that point, she did. And it made her realise how you can write about things like grief without, like, holding back a bit sometimes and making it twice as powerful, simply because we're watching somebody else.
Right. The other question I wanted to ask you is, because I go to events when I can, and sometimes they are related to things that I need to go and hear. And one of the questions I asked the panel was, this is based on the Desert Island Disc, Radio 4 Desert Island Disc, I think Sue Lawley. And I said to them, if you were stranded on a desert island, what one thing would you take with you and why?
That's a good question. That is a very good question. Ooh, I'd probably be honest with you. I can name two things. I couldn't ask one. Because it would have to be pen and paper, of course. But I also know I've been lost about my iPod as well, because I've got like a 32-gig iPod, and I've got crammed full of music and poetry. So I've been lost about both of them.
Well, that's such a good question. That's a really good answer to the question.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's a horrible question, that one, because I would hate it because I get bored either way.
Really? Are you someone who gets bored easily?
Yeah, I am, because I've never been a person, I mean, to sit down and watch TV. I never have been since I was a child, really. I'm one of these sort of people. I'd rather be creating and watching, if that makes sense.
I think the thing with London, though, is that people are so used to just getting home and just sitting and, you know, just chilling out. But I think the television is really important to them. But whereas, like, in the countryside, you have to go out and, you know, and do things. And I remember, like, you know, shops would close at 3 o'clock. So I had to make sure. But if I wanted something, I had to, like, you know, I had to have it in my mind to have those things. Because if by the time you get there and you've forgotten what you wanted, it'll be too late for you to come back because the shop's closed at 3.
And yeah, completely.
And sometimes they don't even open, you know, or they close, you know, earlier than what they're supposed to do. So.
Oh, yeah, completely different way of life. Anybody who's listening, obviously, tonight, they would understand, like, it's city life and country life is completely different. City life is like, you think you're really like, I know what London's like, certainly. Manchester's gone a lot more like London in the past 10 years.
Right.
When I looked about 10 years ago, a lot of the shops used to shut dead on 5 o'clock, say 6 o'clock at the latest. Nowadays, you're getting more and more shops. Right, we've got, say, 20 years ago, we had a massive shopping complex open called the Trafford Centre. And that's open till 10 o'clock every night, all the main shops are.
Right.
So, like, society has changed a lot. Right? It's part of the Americanization, really.
Yeah. And it's really funny because someone else who said that they think they live in the suburbs, and I think they live in the suburbs because it's similar to the countryside, but at the same time it's on the cusp of the city, so you have like the best of both worlds in a way, because you can go into like the next borough and you'll have like a coffee shop, whereas like in the countryside, if you want to get a coffee, you have to go to that particular place, whether you like it or not. And the buses take forever to like to come by, and usually you have to.
Yeah, completely. I don't know. You know
when
I did the first tour?
Yeah.
I did a tour with a band, actually. We went over to Bantry over in Southern Ireland. And I always remember that first. They then, where my friends lived around there, they had like 2 buses a week. I took them to the nearest town. But you can't imagine it sometimes, can you?
No, 2 buses a week.
Yeah, 2 buses a week, yeah. You had like, you had to go to the nearest town, which was, I'd say, about, 10, 15 miles away. You ended up, like, you had the bus at 10 o'clock in the morning, or you drove. And then you came back in at 2:30 in the afternoon. Or if you missed that, you'd end up basically having to get a taxi back up that cost you, about €15.
So you can only go out twice a week then?
Yeah, unless you drove. Yeah, imagine that. You can't imagine it, can you? Really? I always found it incredible. You'd like to think you've been up way up this night. It's completely different.
Yeah, and I was saying to this person, you know, that is a childhood friend of somebody that I know. I was saying, well, the place that we both go to looks really like the countryside. It's like you go into this. It's like a farm, but but it's a city one. And it's an educational one, yeah? And inside that farm, you've got a cafe, and it's similar to the countryside where you go to this particular place and you've got this cafe in there. And if you decide that you don't want something, then by the time you get out and you're really, really in the middle of nowhere, you can't go back. You can't go back because it will either be closed or it'll be too far for you to go to.
Oh, yeah, completely. I've done that before now. I've done something on Ireland that well. Did you ever find it? Let me ask you a question about that. Obviously, like, when you've gone to say, the proper countryside,
yeah.
Have you found, you've been over there actually, for a couple of days, yeah, and you start writing, you're writing completely different, isn't it?
No, I was
the environment you're in.
There's only about 7 or 8 at the time. I used to read quite a lot of comic books, but I didn't write at that time. I was just getting the grasp of, you know, reading poetry, but no,
yeah.
I didn't write. Did you write when you were about 7?
I did have short stories that I wrote myself. I've got poems that exist, still exist when I'm 10, but I've got nothing that exists before that. So, you know, I've got.
Have you still got them?
I've got the 10-year-old poem, yeah. Did I ever tell you
that? You got what, sorry?
I got a detention at school, like a poem.
Did you?
Yeah, and because I wrote the end of the poem, which is in the other just out on the outskirts of Manchester, when I was about 11. And when we came back, we got told we had to write a poem about going to the zoo. And I went and wrote a poem about one of the lions breaking out the cage and eating one of the teachers.
You got detention for that?
Yes. You know why?
No, but the thing with people in London is they're so keen on just watching TV that they don't get bored. I don't know how. And if you ask them what they did the night before, where did they go on holiday, they don't want to tell you. And it's really strange because, you know, like me and you, I just say to you, well, how did your holiday go? You'd be going, well, I didn't do anything, but I did this and I did a bit of writing and we did that. So we went there and, you know, we had to look after my, you know, Amanda's dad.
Exactly. Have you got much on this week?
Yeah, I've got this. You know this book? I've just got this formatting to do, and it's so difficult. It's really difficult, you know?
Yeah. No, I can relate to that. My next book's your Monday in October, and we're in the same problem, but I'll tell you about that next week.
Exactly.
Tune in next week.
Yeah.
Make sure I'll be what's going right.
Well, we'll see you next week then from Andy N and myself. Good night.
Yeah.
And please join us then. Hope
to
and tune in. Yeah, see you soon. Bye. Yeah. Ta-ra, bye.